On this week's episode, we talk about Godzilla X Kong, the New Empire.
And other pop culture news.
So is it actually Godzilla X Kong?
Wait, we have Hollywood star in the news tonight.
I'm the coolest. I'm not hungover or high, just diseased and broken.
Yeah, she's high on disease.
Yeah.
Eye problems, lung problems. Ugh. She's healthy, she's safe. So is everybody else here. She's going to be fully recovered by next episode, we hope.
My gosh, I hope so. This is getting ridiculous. But we're here for you, our beloved public.
Yes. And on this episode, as she started saying, we watched Godzilla. It's versus, it was an end.
It's X.
That's what I put. So it's versus, yeah.
Godzilla. But versus is VS.
Yeah,
or
that means versus too.
Does it?
What does it mean in English?
It's either like Godzilla times Kong or Godzilla by Kong. I don't know.
Yeah.
Godzilla X Kong.
In Portuguese, it means something similar to versus. I don't think it's versus because that's not a word in Portuguese.
Yeah. Or like.
Versus.
Against. Yeah, anyways. Whatever.
But it is Godzilla versus Kong, the New Empire. And what's your thought?
I thought it was super fun.
She did watch.
Yes.
Her eyes were fine.
My eyes were fine yesterday. it was riddled with every cliche and trope you can imagine. But the monsters, the Titans, were super entertaining, super fun to watch. And I thought the effects were all well done. And that's really all I was looking for from this movie. So it delivered on everything.
Yeah, it was fun, entertaining, really, really well done. It had some little garbage intrusions here and there. It had some writing problems. If anything, on these Godzilla movies, this one specifically, let's talk about this one. There's writing problems concerning every time there's a monsters fighting on the screen and stuff. Oh yeah, that's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well done.
War smash. Yeah. Bang!
But when humans, it was like, what?
Oh my gosh.
What the heck?
Like I said, every single trope. It was like, think like 1950s bad sci-fi. Like serial sci-fi. It was so cheesy.
Yeah, some things
like
over-explained, some things not explained at all.
Uh-huh.
It was like, really, guys? Just let the... Well, there's a quintessential difference between late Godzilla movies. Godzilla Minus One, the Japanese recent movie that was a huge success in Japan, a huge success worldwide. Godzilla was a monster, was a threat, and the humans have to deal with it, and the humans have their own traumas, their own dilemmas they have to deal with.
Yeah. And the human side was like really like powerful and emotional and honestly could be a film all on its own.
Yeah.
And so when Godzilla shows up, like he's terrifying. Like he said, he's a threat and it's like bad news and really just adds to the whole like human drama of it.
On the American version, this one, for instance, Godzilla and Kong are like super friends. They're gonna save the day and fight all the monsters.
And it's a relief when they show up on screen. It's like, oh, okay,
We say, even though they did destroy Rio de Janeiro, which a lot of people would say, hey, good. But Egypt, they go to, one of them go to Cairo, and
it really is an international extravaganza.
Yeah, and all that is on the trailer, so it's not a spoiler.
Yeah.
So every time there's humans in the screen is where you're gonna find problems. It's like this trope, this little thing, writing the garbage crap and all the little things that annoy us on every new movie is this one. And it feels unnecessary because the movie is Godzilla versus Kong and New Empire, so new monsters. It's not about, I mean, when you want to do about relationships, focus on that, and the monsters are secondary. And this one, they kind of want to do both worlds, and they failed on the human one. On the monster one was pretty cool. I did think that the effects were slightly different than the other movies. Even the the theme, the color theme on this one.
Yes.
The there was a lot more battles. I think all the battles maybe were during the day. When on the previous one, yes, there was a lot of night battles.
That's true.
You know, so the mood changed from night to day, if you pardon my obviousness, and all the things about the effects. Godzilla looked like skinny and athletic.
Yeah.
And he runs and jumps, but like an athlete, not like running and jump like a overweight monster like he was in every other movie.
Yeah, Godzilla's usually like pretty thick, but this Godzilla was snatched. If I could borrow from the parlance of today's young people.
Yes. The anthropomorphization of the creatures also was a notch higher than the usual. Like Kong's expressions that were very human at certain moments. He was sad or he was mad.
Yeah.
Or he was joyful.
Uh-huh.
And there was that.
Yeah. Yeah, there was that, which, like, I didn't really mind, especially if your human characters are going to be so weak,
to be honest, I don't know if I like it or dislike. Yeah. I just noticed the difference was quite obvious.
Yeah. I mean, I think it worked for the way they wrote the plot, that it depended a lot on, like, the Titans' personalities and motivations. So I think it made it more entertaining, especially because, again, we can't stress this enough, how weak the human side of it was. That said, it was really fun. Like, if you like those cliches and tropes, like Indiana Jones stuff, but like poorly done, you know, it was fun. It was, the whole thing was like just really, really fun.
Yeah.
And the things that were cheesy and dumb were just like funny and it. So I think it's really worth seeing. One of my piano students is an 8-year-old who loves Godzilla. He is going to eat up this movie. I'm so excited for him to see it because he's going to love it.
It's fun. And again, about the anthropomorphization of the creatures, it goes with how they write the monsters, the titans, the creatures. They are humanity friends. They are humanity saviors.
Yeah, it's a totally different take.
So. Okay, might also give them emotions, right? Feel sad for mankind suffering and feel mad for the enemies of mankind. It goes with the writing. It's definitely a different take. Also to compensate for the fact that humans are not only poorly written and developed as characters, but they are incompetent. Monarch is out to take care of this for decades now.
And but like, what are they even doing?
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
Like, they're monitoring.
Yeah, but they could like tsunamis. They evacuate way before the waves hit the coast.
Here they didn't, and as Mon Mothma said, many people died.
Yeah.
Like, and that, for me, that's like the most egregious plot hole.
Oh, did they? Maybe the magic of movies saved them.
Maybe. Let's hope. Because while Monarch is like, oh my gosh, we need Godzilla to come save the world, only Godzilla and Kong together can do this, they're just completely ignoring the fact that, like, hundreds... I would love to see an actual death count. It's not less than 6 digits. Probably 7.
Yeah.
Of, like, the actual human beings who died while Godzilla and Kong were trying to save the world. Like,
yeah,
it was a little out of control. And Monarch did absolutely no... Like, oh, evacuate this city because Godzilla's sleeping in the middle of it.
Oh, yeah. It's cute. It's cute. You're going to think it's cute. But overall, it's worth the matinee, the Tuesday night, whenever the ticket is cheaper. You can take the family, the friends,
yeah,
on a date. You know, it's not a movie that your date's going to judge you. It's like, oh, it took me to see this movie? No second date for him, you know?
In fact, there was a couple next to us that, like, raised the first date game to a level I've never seen. At one point, she had, like, lifted up all the armrests and was laying down across several seats, shoes off. Well, he massaged her feet with lotion. Her bare feet with lotion. And I noticed this, like, I smelled the lotion. I was like, what the heck? Movie theaters are supposed to smell, like, people and stale popcorn. But no, I was smelling lotion. What the heck? So I look over. oh my gosh. And then as they were leaving, I was like, this must be just a really cute old couple who are extremely comfortable in public. Nope. He was like, well, thanks for inviting me. That was fun. I'd love to get to know you more. What?
Yeah.
So, anyway, has nothing to do with the movie. It was so weird. I just need to share that.
Yeah,
we did a lot of first dates wrong, I guess.
Yeah. Anyways, Godzilla versus Kong, the new Empire. Yeah. It's available in theaters everywhere. You can go see it. You should go see it. Yeah. Let us know.
Okay. Huge mood shift here, tone shift, whatever. We watched the much talked about documentary, Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV.
Yeah.
And it was dark indeed.
All the episodes are available on HBO Max.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was bizarre. How Hollywood treats kids. We hear rumors and behind the scenes about all the sordid things, from like terrible sordid things for the pedophilia and I don't know if I can say worse, because pedophilia is like a very terrible thing.
It's about as bad as you can go.
mistreating of kids, treating kids as props, abusing kids, if not only physical, but mentally and psychologically.
Yeah.
For making money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when they do that to adults too, but adults are, fully conscious and understanding, or we would like
adults
to
can
think
consent.
So.
Adults can stand up for themselves
with
in
kids.
Ways that children cannot.
Yeah.
And adults can understand what's happening. Adults can understand what's happening in a way that kids can't.
Yeah, in this case, some of the things done to kids were so bad, but kids innocently didn't know, the things that were being put to do on screen.
Yeah, that was
sexual,
so weird.
Where explicitly sexual, adults would get it, and I would assume some would get aroused by it, because that's one of the many accusations of the cast and crew of those shows directed by Dan Schneider because
at Nickelodeon. Yeah, so this focused exclusively, it focused mainly on Dan Schneider and his productions at Nickelodeon. This was like the golden age of Nickelodeon. I don't know if they actually call it that, but it was that during the 90s. And he was the guy behind like the Amanda Bynes show. He's the one who like found her and made her big and a whole bunch of other shows.
Yeah. Oh, that, mm-hmm. with people famous like Kenan Thompson came from that, Amanda Bynes, Drake and Josh, and many others. And they talk to former cast members, to crew members,
mm-hmm.
writers, of the poor treatment they had. And one thing that I said many times, that the whole pay gap between men and women is fabricated in a way that exists in Hollywood. They are the one that created that. They are the one that practiced that. And when people say come and to fight that, it's kind of hypocritical, because they like, let's fight that problem that is out there.
Yeah.
The problem is in there.
The call is coming from inside that.
Yeah, but it's like some sort of false victualling or hypocrisies, really, because they're finding a problem that they like to tell us, like, it's not a problem here, it's a problem everywhere, but it's a problem there that they created. And on this show, on this documentary, there's the evidences of that.
Yeah.
The two female writers were willing, they agreed to have the pay of one split in two for them.
Yeah, like, isn't that banana? I can't imagine. It's just so bizarre that Dan Schneider insisted that women aren't funny, agreed to hire these two women as long as they were willing to split a salary between them. But people are so desperate to work in this industry, the jobs are so hard to get, that they were willing to do this. And that's part of what happened to these kids, too. A lot of them talked about how they were, even when they were uncomfortable and did maybe understand what was going on,
they were willing to be humiliated on screen.
They didn't want to say anything to anybody because they didn't want to lose their shot.
Yeah, because that means the
They didn't want to offend Dan. They didn't want to get blacklisted by him.
Yeah.
They didn't want to lose their opportunity and job, to be on Nickelodeon.
Their family's source of income. The family's opportunity to change life. And it's an industry of dreams and nightmares where people are used and abused because of desperation, because they want the glamour, and if not the glamour, they want the money.
And so then all of that's just the industry itself. And then on these kids shows, and this is what we see unfold in the documentary, it's this perfect environment for pedophiles to come in and work with kids and manipulate them and their families and get them into a position where they're just completely ready for the most horrific abuse. And these kids, and like, we're not making this up, like, this has happened. People went to jail for it, not nearly as long as they should have. That's a discussion for another day, but like this is stuff that is documented and happened, and people were arrested and people went to jail and for what they did to kids on and around these sets, or kids that they met and started grooming on set. And then some of these guys turned around after prison and all the rest and got hired by Disney to work on Disney Channel shows.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. And as crazy as it is, though, it's honestly not that shocking, because we've been hearing stories like this from, like, the beginning of Hollywood. Like, Shirley Temple tells stories about how she was, like, assaulted and harassed even as a child, and we hear stories about what happened to, like, Drew Barrymore, and how she was, like, given alcohol as a little girl at Hollywood parties and interested in drugs, and, like, Judy Garland. There's just so many stories about children in Hollywood being exploited, abused, assaulted, all the rest, and, like, oh, it's just so sad.
It is sad. the documentary goes through then Schneider's abuses as a boss, and then it moves to a serious, real and serious crimes around all that, where people, producers, were actually, two of them, were arrested because they were abusing minors, using minors.
Yeah.
One was arrested with tons of child pornography, thousands of pictures of child pornography. The other one was arrested, accused, and went to court of abusing Drake. What's his last name?
Can't remember. Drake Bell.
Drake Bell.
And that's probably
Drake
most.
Bell? You sure?
Yes.
Okay.
It's probably the most remarkable part, I think, was his willingness to come forward and be so open and candid and explain what happened, and his dad too, explained and just laid it all out there.
And I thought it was very impressive that they actually touched the fact that, not blaming on the fact that he was abused, but as an adult, he had an improper relationship with a minor and went to court for that. And yeah. I thought they would, like, you know, it's like, oh, this is about what happened to him. They're going to ignore that. No, the documentary actually goes through it.
Yeah.
Talks about it. I thought it was, wow, that's how it should be. You know,
yeah.
A fact is a fact. If something bad happens to you, does not abone you from do something bad to others.
Yeah, it doesn't absolve you.
Yeah, abone you is not a word.
I mean, well, it is now, obviously.
Okay.
But for those who haven't heard it before,
hashtag abone you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just translating for our viewers who may not have heard that before.
That does sound bad. Abone you. Hashtag abone you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Or even what's the other word for hashtag? Pound.
Pound
abone you.
Yep. Nope. That.
Sorry.
Way to go. I made it worse.
It's a serious moment.
It really is.
But the documentary is very interesting. It's very open. Eye-opening. If anything, after the fact, a lot is being on the media about it. Keenan finally talked about it.
Oh, good.
And he said, there's like, I wasn't all that. I never suffered, you know, some of the things the other suffers. And when I moved to Keenan and Kel, then, even though his name was there as creator, he was not really there. So I cannot give you more than
that.
Yeah.
So you kind of got lucky.
Yeah. But Drake Bell, for instance, had so much to talk about. And then including after the episode showed aired, the network actually announced an extra episode coming.
Yeah.
Where Drake Bell is gonna talk more about not only what happened, but what happened after the episode, when the episode aired, and yeah, so it's coming soon. Is that date?
April 7th. Yeah. This is a really important one to watch, not just to like expose Hollywood, but I personally learned a lot about like being a parent protecting your child. As these parents talked about, because they not a lot of parents participated, but the ones who did, I think, shared some really important things about like leaving your kid alone with other adults and kids having computers and being in touch with adults. Like so many, yeah. Speaking up and like making loud, like being loud and being heard, and when you feel like something's not right for your kids, because so many of these people could sense that something was wrong and something was off. And honestly, some of these pedophiles weren't even hiding that much.
Yeah.
But because of their positions of power, they got away with a lot. Anyway, so I think it is a really important one to watch, not just because of like the sordid details of Nickelodeon in the 90s, but also just to understand what does happen to children and how as adults we can keep them safe.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend it. It's well worth it.
Yeah, it's on HBO Max or Max, whatever they call it now.
Yep.
All episodes are there, and a new episode come on April 7th.
Yeah.
It is a very, you know, we have to reiterate more and more these days that kids have to be protected. Where so many places that people want to use, exploit, mutilate kids, like a return to dark ages where kids were, you know, less than
just
humans.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's important to see that and to protect kids from these predators that some people on the left might say is like, oh, these poor people are diseased. They don't need punishment. They need help. It's like, once they commit the crime, they need punishment. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Moving on. So that's what the things we saw
this
week. The fresh new things. Let's go to the news.
Yeah. So a little look at how things are doing with box office, streaming results, and everything. Lindsay Lohan's new movie, Irish Wish, is doing well enough that Ireland is kind of hoping that it's going to help boost tourism.
I saw that. When I saw that, I was like, really?
Yeah, I didn't.
I was like, really? You post a picture of one of those hills. I was like, you don't need Lindsay Lohan. That's
it's
enough.
It's true.
To
Lindsay Lohan being on the hill, on the cliff, didn't really add anything to it.
Yeah.
Although it was delightful to see her, like, happy, healthy,
well,
being
fun.
Successful
yes,
again.
Yes.
It's a cute movie.
There was also child actors that went through the whole trauma.
Yes.
Especially little girls. But again, since what happened to this boy in this other show, and then what happened to a lot of other boys.
Corey Feldman.
You know, from kids, from little kids, cute and funny. There's a moment in between that and adulthood that they tried to sexualize on camera, and who knows what they do behind the camera.
And it especially happens to the Disney Channel kids. Like, all the examples I can think of are girls from Disney Channel.
Yeah.
The most extreme examples are from Disney. So, anywho, I just worry. Man, when I see a child actor who's, like, doing really well, getting really popular, I'm like, oh, my gosh. I really hope this kid's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Because it's rough. Okay, anyway, speaking of Disney, so there's kind of a rough revelation. Disney Eras...
Oh, this one is another of the public management administration mistakes that Disney is making. You know,
yeah.
There's a guy now trying to force his way into the board to change things because he thinks is what they're doing is wrong, and it is wrong. It's like it's displeasing fans. It's losing money.
Yeah.
For instance, he was like. It's like he wants back to classic Disney, and then this guy's fighting Bob Iger, and some people are taking Bob Iger's side. It's this whole battle on the board, and he's trying to get in to get another CEO because the woke garbage he thinks is a problem. It is a problem. This one is not so much about woke stuff, but more about I don't know, a bad decision, poor use of money.
Yeah.
The new Taylor Swift Eras Tour cost Disney $74 million. So
To not, get the streaming Taylor, rights.
Just to get the rights to stream it.
Yeah.
So they paid that much. And the show made 4.6 million views. Around the same time, Demzo, the new Netflix movie, cost them to make, to post, to keep it. No, to make only.
Yeah.
Let's only talk about make. Cost 60 million.
Which is pretty small for a movie.
Yeah, it is.
Today. Like, cause like Star Wars, A New Hope was like $10 million to make. Oh, which was a low budget at the time. Yeah. Uh-huh. But I mean, like, if that was, anyway.
Yeah. It's low,
that's
but,
a, that's
but it's
low.
Netflix.
Yeah.
They use the money proper. We believe. Yeah. We didn't see yet. And on the first 4 days, made 35.5 million. So much more. So the investment in return on the case of Disney, I was like, wow, Disney is another mistake they made, which is not helping things. There.
Yeah, it's just weird. Because like you said, it's not, there is the obnoxious virtue signaling that has taken over a lot of like the actually good storytelling, or that's become a priority over storytelling, which Disney has done an incredible job of in the past. It's the reason so many people love them. But yeah, there's just like weird business decisions, obviously bad, predictably bad business decisions. So anyway, yeah. I hope they get it together and figure things out.
Talking about bad decisions.
Yeah.
They decide to go against the governor of Florida because of a law protecting kids in Florida.
Yeah,
right? the irony. So they decide to go against their law and they sued the governor of Florida for that. But this week it came to an end when they decided to settle. Because, well, there was no win, so another loss for them on this whole mess.
Yeah, it is. Okay, another loss. It's not all terrible.
Because all comes in three. No, this is terrible too.
No, I'm saying, but not everything we have to say today is terrible.
But this one is.
This one is. X-Men 97 performed worse than What If.
Yeah, What If that was released in 2021 when Disney Plus only had 31 million subscribed. They have much more now, but the show is low ratings.
It's not doing great.
It's doing, I mean, the critics are loving it and some people are loving it, but it's very, I mean, not as much people as one would expect it. Because a fan of the classic show, this is like a reboot, are discontent with, again, the woke garbage infiltrated in the show. Especially considering that the show is called X-Men 97. It takes place in 1997.
One would think.
Yeah. So, it's like, come on. If the show was now, a lot of people would say no. The show being 97, it's like, come on. You guys are idiots. And that's besides the one of the producers, one of the creators being fired because he had an OnlyFans account. But anyways, let's move on. Let's talk about other things.
Okay. Speaking of bad business decisions, they announced that the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie is going to be a reboot.
What's a bad decision? The reboot
it's stupid.
Or making a new movie?
Both of them. Both of them. This franchise has, they did it. They did it hard. And it's been over for a while. And I think we're all fine with that. And now they're going to reboot it. Pirates of the Caribbean, the first one, one of the best Disney movies. Like, it's so good. It's so funny. Great cast. Johnny Depp, dare I say it, his best. Like, such a fun movie.
Post-credit scene.
Which one is that?
Wasn't the first one that he comes back?
Oh, yeah. It was the first one that... Yeah. No, oh, yeah. No, Jeffrey, it was Jeffrey Rush.
The third one.
That was it? I don't remember.
They have this
anyway.
Whole thing that he...
Yeah.
Orlando Bloom becomes the new immortal pirate on...
Yeah. That's
and
later.
He comes
that's
as,
in, like, the third one.
I guess it's the third one, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, so, like...
Wasn't Johnny Depp nominated for an Oscar for that?
I can't remember. Crazy. He could have been. Like, it's such a good movie. Did they need to make some? Anyway, it's dumb to make another one, and it's really dumb to reboot a franchise that they already did right the first time.
And that's
just
already
like,
failing. The last
it's not
two,
even 20 years old.
The last two. But again, it's the politics of the day, the agenda, the woke agenda. They want to, well, first they didn't say it would be a reboot, but it would be all female.
Yeah.
Which is
so,
like, pirates. Anyways.
Okay, well, they've already given us gods and Aztec curses and all the rest.
Sure,
so
sure.
It's pirates.
But now
not
it's a fully on reboot. You'll see. I mean, maybe. Maybe it's not going to happen. I still didn't see the fourth and the fifth.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah. I feel like this one, we can let other people watch it first, and if they unexpectedly
they mentioned Margot Robbie, which is... that would bring people to the theaters.
Might.
Ayo Adebiri is also very talented.
That's true.
As soon as we saw her on Bear, I was like, wow, this girl is good.
I like her a lot.
And she is good. But again, depending on the material they give to her, the writing. But anyways, moving on. Pirates.
Okay, speaking of rebooting franchises over and over and over again, there's a new rumor about Spider-Man 4.
Yeah, this is sad and terrible, but it's expected. I would not expect less. I mean, this kind of crap from Disney, it was super expected. That the new Spider-Man, Peter, is going to stay back and give room for Miles Morales, which is, for me, it's a terrible decision because we don't have enough Spider-Man movies. We have five, nine, nine? Nine. Nine.
Yeah.
Three, two, nine. But like comic books, we have one every week, so we don't have enough.
Fair enough.
And forget about the number of comic books. In years, you have the character for decades.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like James Bond. They have 29 movies.
Is that really that many?
Yeah.
Jeez.
So, but Disney wants to, you know, inclusivity, diversity. We want the black kid. So it was expected that one on the second, I think it was Homecoming, they had a cameo of Miles Morales' uncle.
Yep.
Just through there. It's like some people not even understood. It's like, oh, it's like, oh, I have a nephew. I was like, oh, so whatever. Some people that knew the comic books or knew a little bit more, knew. So it's expected. Yeah. Well, Tom Holland said that he only comes back if it's worth it. But it's like, come on, worth it, like money-wise, because they will pay.
He very quickly got to a place in his career where he only works if he really wants to.
Yeah, but
he doesn't ever have to work again.
Whatever
if he
they do, they will pay. So that's sad news, but it might be more than a rumor. It might happen.
Yeah, which it just makes no sense. Like Peter Parker, everybody loves him.
Yeah.
Oh well. Okay.
And he's just a kid, you know. It's not even the adult part of Peter. There's no Mary Jane. He never get married, and have to deal with all that being, but anyways, moving on.
Yep. All right. This is a really interesting, possibly reported rumor coming from the MCU about Henry Cavill.
Would be Wolverine.
And this is a co-Wolverine?
Is it what?
It says co-Wolverine.
As Wolverine. I think that's a typo.
Oh, okay. I hope so.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of a one of a kind.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, Cavill is talented. He's good looking and he's strong. Good actor. To not use him in a superhero movie, it's a retarded idea. You heard that, Warner Brothers? Anyways. So there's been rumors about him. People want him. Fans want him to be Wolverine.
Yeah.
Which would be cool. But we'll see. Yeah. So far, rumors.
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad about it. I'm not one to oppose Henry Cavill appearing in things. Okay, Kate Middleton. This was like, I feel like all of Western society should be very embarrassed about this whole snafu. It was announced a few months ago that Kate Middleton would be undergoing a significant surgery that would require several weeks to recover from. She went to the hospital, had the surgery, and then did not appear in public even for a few weeks after the expected recovery time. And then the palace released this picture that was obviously very badly doctored, and the rumor mills went crazy and like jumped straight to like,
he's
she's dead,
that nanny.
He's cheating on her, he's cheating on her with the marchioness of whatever. Like, it just got really
with
ugly really fast. The marchioness.
What's a marchioness?
It's a noble title.
Oh, okay.
Apparently there's an old friend. And then this poor woman, people were giving her such a hard time because she's lovely, but she's no Kate Middleton. Like, it just, oh, it was so bad. Especially when you consider that this is like Diana's son who's already gone through. Anyway, she finally released a video explaining that she has cancer and she'd been going undergoing chemotherapy. And that's why she hadn't been making public appearances.
Yeah, and so everybody that made fun of it now is apologizing. Some made really hard fun jokes inappropriate because some people do inappropriate jokes, period.
Yeah.
And some people did like silly jokes. Like Blake Lively, she made a post with a picture releasing her new mixer. And one of the hands is like clearly badly photoshopped. She's like, here, I took this picture today. I don't know if that's the same thing that Kate said it, but here, I took this picture today. It is badly photoshopped, which I honestly think, I don't think an apology was necessary, but she did apologize for it.
Which was the classy thing to do.
Yeah.
I think, because she released that, she dropped that picture like the day before. I think a lot of other people owe the royal family an apology.
Yeah.
And not just like the people who are making jokes, sure, but like the people who leapt straight, who like just spread all these horrific rumors about them and about William and all the rest. Like, oh.
Yeah.
Anyways. Okay. Let's get to some fun stuff.
It was, her talking about cancer was very, very, very interesting. She talks about how she's fighting it and she's with the people that are fighting it and we all, meaning her and other people fighting the same situation, shall you know, fight and win this battle.
Yeah, it's a hard one, especially given that their kids are so young.
And this comes really close to the announcement that Charles III, right?
Yes.
Also has cancer.
Yes. England doesn't have a great history for King Charles's. One was exiled, one was beheaded. Like, now this one has cancer.
He could pick another name, but...
He could, or his mother. This is, like, the one thing about Elizabeth II. Like, what was the thought process here? So many other... Anyway. But that's... I'm doing what I said people shouldn't do, so I'll stop. Okay, let's talk about Jerry Seinfeld for a minute.
Jerry Seinfeld has... What was it about?
He was featured in Bloomberg... week because his net worth has surpassed $1 billion.
So, in a very smart way, he makes people laugh. He's
pretty impressive,
He jokes and makes money. And he's been making money not only through the show. How much from the show?
About half of it is from the show. Let's see. Netflix. So he gets Turner paid him $1 million per episode.
Yeah, he has to air the reruns. $465 million from syndication, which is the show airing in all the TV stations you see in the country, reruns, right?
Yep.
Also, the Netflix deal got him.
The Netflix deal got him personally $94 million. Mm-hmm. The total deal was like $500 million, though.
Yeah.
So Seinfeld is worth, like, the show is worth a lot, and then he's also been able to rake in $100 million just from his stand-up tours.
Yeah, he's still touring. Uh-huh. And yeah, we talked about Adam Sandler other day on how these people, good comedians, are very smart. Some have very serious mental problems. We heard of drinking and depressing. But the ones that are able to overcome that, or the ones that don't have that, nor all would have that, they are very smart because... And they pick simple things and they make fun of it, they make it funny, they make people laugh of some things, like, what's the deal with, you know, the simplest things, like, bathroom was in the airport, and they apparently, they are smart with finances and management of their careers, to the point that Seinfeld is,
he's worth a lot. Well, and I think too, it helps that it's a commodity that people are willing to pay for. We saw this phenomenon during the Great Depression, even though this was a time when, like,
he was around the Great Depression.
He wasn't, but the entertainment industry did really well while the nation's economy just, like, fell apart and people were unemployed and struggling to, like, even feed their families. They would still spend money to, like, go to movies, have radios in their homes, buy toys. That was still something that people prioritized. Like entertainment, specifically like comedy and laughing, is something that's really valuable.
Yeah. So
if you do it well, you can do really well.
So he's doing really well. And not only that, he just announced there's posters and trailers we're going to talk about when we watch, of his new movie, Unfrosted. The story, what's it called? The story of
Pop-Tarts?
Pop-Tarts. Pop-Tarts story, something yeah. like that. It, it looks funny.
It sounded really dumb when he first announced it, but the more I'm reading about it, the more interested I am.
Yeah.
And he was actually just talking about how he worked with Hugh Grant on the set.
Yes.
It was like, Hugh Grant is the worst. I love him, but he's the worst to work with. But then they went out one night and got drunk, and then he was like, oh, okay, we can make this work. Yeah. I love the guy.
And also, also Melissa McCarthy and Jason Bateman and many other talented people. Coming soon yeah. to Netflix. Netflix bringing good content and making good business decisions.
Okay, what's up with Glower ice cream?
Glower. It's not Glower. It's cauliflower.
Oh.
It is.
Oh, that's
disappointing. It's a stupid idea, and that's all I have to say.
Okay. Moving on. Okay, some upcoming, like, casting announcement type things. The last thing he told me got renewed for a second season at Apple TV.
It's funny because the last season was the, I thought it was the last season she told us, but apparently there's more to tell.
Yeah.
I mean, I would never say no to more Jennifer Garner, so yeah, bring it, nope. bring it. Yeah.
Yeah, she's fun. Scarlett Johansson is in talks to star in a new Jurassic World movie.
Okay, I don't know, sure.
I feel like at this point, the Jurassic World franchise, like,
oh, we're here for the dinosaurs. Oh, you know the name, right? What was the name?
Oh.
Jurassic City.
Jurassic City or something?
Yeah, Jurassic City.
Again, my bar for the plot is really low. I'm here for the dinosaurs.
Yes.
And maybe some cool music, but mostly the dinosaurs. So, yeah. Scarlett Johansson wants to join in. Like, I don't blame her. That's yeah, probably
we'll
really
see.
Fun. Yeah. Okay, what's up with Joker 2?
Joker 2 is mostly, according to the producers, mostly a jukebox musical with at least 15 covers of well-known songs.
Given that Lady Gaga is a really talented singer and performer, it promises at least those parts are going to be really fun to watch.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, maybe fun's not quite the right word, but worth watching.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got reports from Variety that Paramount has hired Steve Yockey to write the upcoming Star Trek 4 for Paramount.
Which will be the last one of the Kelvin timeline.
Mm-hmm. He is the creator of The Flight Attendant with yeah, Kaley Cuoco.
Which season 1 was really good. Season 2 was, it dropped a little, but it's yeah. tough. It's tough to follow.
I think the suspension of disbelief got a little bit harder. In the first one, like, I totally bought it. In the second one...
Yeah,
it was a little bit harder to...
The character development, it was like she struggled through all first season.
Yeah.
And then she evolved. And then a couple episodes into season 2, she like, whoop, she fall apart again. I don't know. Maybe it's realistic for people that have that kind of problem, but I thought...
Relapses are pretty common, yeah, but...
But I thought it was like for audiences that are unrelated to the problem, it's kind of like, oh, come on, Kelly. I mean, her name was not Kelly, but you know.
Yeah. I forgot her name. She's like, I like watching her, but she's never not Kaley Cuoco.
Which is good. It's the star system, you know. She doesn't have to be method.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. But like some actors, I just see the character. Like Gary Coleman disappears into the character.
Some people
Kaley
try.
Kaley Cuoco is always going to be Kaley
Cuoco. Some people try and fail.
So, it's true.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Like a serious Kevin Hart. It's like, we're gonna. Aboard that plane, you're gonna steal that money.
It
we
didn't.
Have a mission to do.
It didn't work.
We're serious people.
Yeah. It's like Joel McHale trying to be sincere. No, bud. No. Let's see. You had written 2016.
Okay, so Ernie Hudson was on the news this week.
Mm.
With the release of Ghostbusters, he's around touring for doing marketing for the movie. And he talked some really straight truths about, well, first of all, the 2016 is mentioning the Ghostbusters movies that nobody liked it. And I say that not because I didn't see it, it didn't like it. I still gonna see it, probably not gonna like it, because the director right away told, he blamed the fans. I was like, but we don't even watch the movie yet. You're already blaming us? Anyways.
Yeah, and so, it's like the fans,
Yeah, it's like, if he's not making movie for the fans, he's making movie for his mama. Anyways.
Yeah.
Nothing against his mama. Or maybe it's her fault. But anyways. So, Ernie Hudson came to talk about Ghostbusters 2016 that nobody liked it. And he apparently he didn't like it either. He was very honest. I was like, yeah, I don't know. It's like, it was a missed opportunity. It didn't work. It wasn't good. So just to show that there's sincerity out there, and I mean, it's a fact. And Ernie Hudson is a very intelligent man. Another thing he said, and I wrote the quote, was he talking about racism, on how racism is used by some people, and I'm gonna let him say better, to as a handicap, right? Like blaming all the problems on racism. And he talks about that. You know what he says?
He says, you know, being a person of African descent anywhere in the world, we're all just learning how to live together and get along together and realize that we're all connected. And it's very tempting sometimes to blame anything that doesn't work in your life on racism.
Yeah.
I think that's very insightful and very, yeah. I don't know.
He proved that he's a very smart man. And his journey as a Ghostbusters, there was like some people, there's jokes about it, which I honestly never thought about it. He's the Black Ghostbusters or the fourth Ghostbuster. Either way, he proved himself. After that, he had a good career, and then end up in afterlife being the big boss, right?
Yeah,
which I thought was really interesting, really cool, considering that he was not the scientist in the group, but still. He's clearly the savvy businessman in the group.
He
overcame everything and went to the top.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Obviously, racism is not something that I personally have dealt with a whole lot in my life. But I really love...
Some of the black people talked about that. Morgan Freeman said the solution for racism is always Denzel Washington. They both have really good quotes about it. And they said the solution for it is stop talking about it. Stop making a big deal about it. We moved on from so much worse, and you guys going to go back and regurgitate, you know? We have to move, and moving means stop talking. And that came from black prominent people.
I don't think racism is the only thing that people blame their problems on.
Yeah.
It might be racism, it might be poverty, mental health. Or sexism. There's so many different things. And those things are very real and very challenging, and they still very much exist today. I don't want to like deny that existence, but I really appreciate it when people come out and point out that, and I've had people point this out to me too, and it's really helped me in my own life, point out that like stuff sucks sometimes, but you still have your own agency and your own abilities, and you get to make some choices about how you're going to deal with it. You are a capable person and more than just a victim of whatever garbage is in the world.
Yeah.
Again, not denying that there's garbage in the world.
Yeah.
But if you identify as a victim and shut down, mm-hmm. like that's so sad.
Yeah.
You could be more. Anyway.
Yeah.
From a pretty privileged person, I get that. But
you play with the cards life deals you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know you do your best, and like he said, you can. It's possible. That's the message he wants to convey, that nothing should stop you. Only you can stop you. But yeah, moving on.
Okay. This is an unexpected one. So there's this disorder called, give me a second.
Thing.
It is a tough one. So I'm going to sound it out really carefully. Prosopometamorphopsia.
Good.
Okay. This is a disorder that causes people to see faces in like really distorted, even demonic ways, like really distorted, grotesque.
Pictures?
Yeah, I Googled it because I never heard of this before, but it's bizarre. Apparently scientists have created accurate, like what is this? You read it.
Yeah, it's accurate replicas, you know, like how would I look like those face demons that people that see face demons see. It's not as bad as it sounds, but it's bad.
And it's bizarre because it's not even like hallucination, like seeing a whole made up face. Like they would look at a normal face, and because of this, whatever happened in their brain, they see instead like this super distorted version. It's crazy stuff. So
I mean, hopefully,
look into it. It's very interesting.
Hopefully, the research will help find a cure, for this.
That would be hard to live
with illness.
Yeah. Okay, let's end on a light note. This year is the 40th anniversary of Footloose, and Kevin Bacon has accepted an invitation from Payson High School to join them at their prom. to celebrate the anniversary of the movie and also their last prom there because the school's getting torn down.
Yeah. And if you don't know, they did shoot the movie in that area.
Yes. Yes. So he originally wasn't going to come or do anything for it, but this high school invited him and he was cool about it.
That's cute. And it's cute that you know, kids, you know, still into that movie. So it was like, of course.
Yeah. It's a cool thing. It's
Hollywood,
a cool move.
Hollywood stars like fits the kid to think I'm a superstar. Yes, of course I'm going. So yeah.
Why not? So that's a fun one.
Yeah. What else do you have?
That's it. That's the whole list.
That's it. Oh wow.
Yeah.
That was so short.
Was it? Was it really?
Well, that's it for this week. Next week we come with more.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna watch and gonna talk about it. Leave your comments, your likes, your subscribe, share, tell people out in the streets. Say, hey, do you know about Retina Weekly? And invite them to like us and share us and tell us your opinion. Next week, you come back with more with exciting news and not so exciting news and some fun stuff that we're going to see and some not so fun stuff that you're going to see because you never know. I mean, some things we know. Some things you know is like,
We'll take the hit for you.
Some's like, I was like, sure, let's watch it. But we will. Anyways.
One that I'm really excited about is Guy Ritchie's, what is it? The
League of Ungentlemen?
It's not League. Because there's a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. This is something different. The Bureau of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
I think so, yes.
Something
yes,
like that. Either way.
It, yeah.
It's basically Henry Cavill going savage on a mobile. Like, it's going to be Richman, so fun.
Alan Richman is on it too.
Yeah.
Alex Pettifier. It's a great
Guy Ritchie, World War II, Henry Cavill.
Guy Ritchie's.
Sold.
It's such a ride. It's such a good stuff. Yeah. If you've never seen anything, you should. Anyways. So, but it's not coming soon, is it?
I don't know. Let's just see what the
Well, we
next
do.
One
we do.
I'm
yeah.
Super excited
there's,
about.
There's this Furiosa. There's a.
Oh yeah.
So many other things coming.
Yeah.
Soon, and next week we're gonna see. I can't remember.
Okay.
But we will. So that's it for this week. May the force be with you.
Live long and prosper.
Bye.
Bye.